Howdy, friends, and welcome into Gridiron Frogs Podcast as a part of TCU Horned Frogs on SI. I'm your host, Just Nolan, because you can't handle the Ruth, a Fort Worth area native with very interesting and peculiar ties to TCU. I'm joined by my partner in crime, JD Andrus, who seems to co-host every podcast for our site. This is episode 5 of our show covering TCU football and a smattering of other topics related. It is Wednesday, not Tuesday, the 14th of August at the time of this recording. And before I ask JD my opening question of the show, we need to introduce our special guest this week, our glorious leader, Barry Lewis, the managing editor of our site. Welcome in, boss.
Hi there. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, this week I get to have two people answer the question. And because of the special edition with our boss joining us, I need to ask y'all, why is the Horned Frog superior to any other mascot in Texas?
Barry? What other mascot can spit blood from its eyes when it gets angry?
You know, I was trying to think of something, but
I like that answer.
I don't think there's any mascot that does shoot blood from its eyes. I just like the fact that we have Hypnotoad and no one else does. Like, who else has an alter ego to their animal character? Thank you. No one.
Exactly.
I like both those answers. I almost had a follow-up question, but we did confirm for everyone who may not have known the news out of Stillwater yesterday about the he was the reigning Big 12 player of the year last year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, reigning Big 12 player of the year, Ollie Gordon, apparently went down with an injury at practice at Oklahoma State yesterday. As of this afternoon, though, reports are that it is anywhere from a 2 to 4 week injury to he's fine and will probably just be right back on the field. So pretty. So since we're not going to spend any time on that, we could pretty much just dive right into this. And it's going to be a pretty basic cut and shoot show today. We are going to go game by game, and the three of us are going to talk about each game and break down our predictions and give our overall prediction on the final record and a potential bowl game for the TCU Horned Frogs this season. And I'll name the game and let you guys take over the initial conversation. I'll kind of interject wherever I can. But we start on a Friday night on the West Coast at Stanford. And this is a late kickoff, 9:30 p.m. on a Friday. And I don't know how I'm feeling about this this Stanford team. I got to be honest, I don't know a lot about Stanford coming into the season.
I will be there in attendance, so it won't be so late for me. It'll be 7:30 local time. I feel that there's probably going to be more Frog fans in that crowd than there are Cardinal fans in that crowd. So I'm looking forward to that and looking forward to spending 3 days in Palo Alto. And I see that the Frogs coming away with an easy win on that.
Barry, I love your optimism. I do actually have TCU winning this game, but I have it a lot closer than what many Frog fans think it will be, especially with the injuries to the corner position for the Horned Frogs. I think Stanford has a receiver, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name because I will butcher it in the slightest. I've tried it 5 different times and cannot do it every time. But they have a receiver that is very, very, very talented. And they have a really, really good offensive line. It's going to be a good first early test. But I do believe that TC will win. I just think it comes down to a one possession games. You even look like the K-Ford ratings just came out, by the way, for who will have the most one possession games this season. TCU was, I think, 5th in the country with 8 predicted one possession games. And that's in a 12 game schedule. I assume Stanford will be one of those one possession games.
Nice. So I know in 2022, TCU obviously won the one possession game. Last year, we lost the one possession games. And I do have, spoiler alert, I do have 5 one possession games on my list. Stanford was just not one of them. And I have TCU going 3-2 in those one possession games.
As it should balance out, right? Every one possession game and then losing every one possession game. Right. Technically, every team lies around 49% to 51% is what the statistics actually say. So it's perfect. It balances out. It's like Thanos. It's inevitable.
I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I admittedly do not know a whole lot about this Stanford team this season. I need to do my research before we go into that one. Following week, home opener against Long Island University, who until they played Baylor last year and I was working for SickhamSports.com, didn't even know that they had a football team. But they went down to Waco, actually gave Baylor a fairly decent fight. But that wasn't saying much with last year's Baylor squad. So I see this one personally just as a dominating game for TCU to the point where we might even see Haas Haney get some snaps with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Barry, this isn't one of your close games, is it?
This is not one of the close
okay, games. Okay, I just want to make sure before you go, you talk about this one.
No. JD and I were talking earlier about looking forward to some articles that JD is going to be writing. And one of the things he's going to do is ranking the Big 12 games each week. And during the non-conference, since there'll be 16 of them, he's going to only talk about 12 and then not do the other four. I already told him that this would be one of the other four.
Yes. It's a pretty cut and dry game. That is the only thing that does make a team like a Long Island and an FCS team coming in is the fact that maybe you could see Haas come in. You got to see a little bit of what he's made of. Last season when TCU played, who was it last year? Was it Nichols last season? Whichever FCS team they played last season, that's when you saw Josh Hoover for the first time. So Nichols. Yeah, that's when you got to see Josh Hoover. You got to see a little bit of him. So who knows? Other than that, yeah, TCU wins this one in dominating fashion. And then immediately after that, they go straight into conference play, Nolan.
Yeah, and this is where I know it's going to get interesting for you, JD, is because you had pretty controversially UCF as number two in your preseason Big 12 rankings. We did talk a little bit about that, and I can see this being really a good test for TCU early. They got one, obviously the way the season ended for Houston didn't end up being a test, but last year got pushed by Houston in the conference opener, and I expect a lot the same. The good news is they don't have to go to Orlando. They get to be at home. That one is on a Saturday at 6:30 kick against the UCF Knights. And, yeah, it all comes down to Jefferson and his play going into the Knights. And can TCU contain him? That's going to be the biggest thing for me. I give TCU the edge in this one.
I'm going to talk about week three and week four together because I see those two games. I see TCU splitting those two games. And I see both of those being two of my one score games. And just for the fact of where the games are being played, I'm going to give TCU the edge over UCF and then SMU the edge next week.
Wow. Our glory. This leader called for SMU to beat TCU. I can't believe it.
I think they are so on top of themselves right now because they are so in such a glorious conference now that they moved to the ACC and we've given them the information that we're not going to play them anymore. And they're pissed off about all of that. And they're trying to hide that the ACC is going to fall apart here soon anyway, and then they're going to be struggling of where they're going to go. So I think this is going to be their Super Bowl of the year.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and talk about week three and week four too. And then Nolan, I'll have you talk. You could talk about us of you, then we'll go to the next week. I have both of them being losses to TCU. Obviously I have UCF as the number two team in the Big 12, and they got to start somewhere with a win. And that is against TCU. This was probably my toughest one to decide just because it's so early in the season that you don't really like teams are very polarizing at that point. You don't really have too much film on a team. Teams are still pretty much healthy. It's a lot harder to decide who's going to win and lose during the earlier time, especially in a first conference game. And this is the first time that UCF will be in Fort Worth. And I think ever, I believe is what
yep.
I saw.
Yep.
I believe
that's right.
And luckily for TCU, even though I still have them losing, is it's not at UCF because the bounce house is a fun place to play. And I also do have them losing to SMU, but on the bright side, when you lose to SMU, whose line is it anyways? It's probably coming on right after the game ends on the CW. So like you can get cheered up that way if you want. but yeah, I truly just think SMU is a pretty good team this season, so I do kind of give them the edge over TCU.
And if I don't know if you all
all
saw,
right, my
but
turn.
Today,
oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say today it was announced that the SMU has a 4 o'clock kick.
Yeah, and they got bounced back for I Love Lucy reruns.
I appreciate the shot at CW on that one. Barry, I was actually going to lead off by saying, yeah, announcing the kickoff time. It is a 4 p.m. kick at Gerald Ford Stadium in University Park on the north side of Dallas. I actually did chalk this one up as a loss for TCU as well. I really, really like what's been going on at SMU and the recruiting that they've gotten, especially around the teams in South Dallas. I mean, there's just a resurgence of these great athletes from Duncanville and South Oak Cliff that want to stick around Dallas and play for SMU. And the beginning of that is they're starting to become juniors and seniors. And so I think that SMU is really growing into a strong program. Not so much that it was with the Pony Express, but it's definitely getting back there. And much to your point, Barry, I think they're mad. I think that they want to, like, this is the second to last that we're going to play. And they want to go out 2-0 in both of them. They want to defend their home turf one last time, and then they want to come to Fort Worth next year and take the skillet back to Dallas and make sure it stays there until we bring it back. I give SMU the edge in this one. So let's see. I just gave Stanford as a push. Y'all both said win, so I go with win. So at the moment, I've got TCU actually a 3-1 because, like I said, I give TCU the edge over UCF.
Yep, I'm at 3-1 as well.
I'm at 2-2.
All right, and then the week after the Iron Skillet game, they will catch the flight up to Kansas City, one that I'm hoping to be in attendance for. I'm still trying to make that work, but I might be able to be there. They're going to be playing at Arrowhead Stadium at a time that is still to be determined as TCU takes on the Kansas Jayhawks. And I got this one chalked up as a loss. What Lance Leipold has done in Lawrence is incredible. You know, JD, I know that you have your thoughts about Kansas this year, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. But I really like what Kansas has got, and especially if Daniels can stay healthy. They're going to be a very, very dangerous team. So I'm taking the Jayhawks in this one.
I'm with you. I'm taking the Jayhawks, and I'm making this one of my other one possession games. So at this point, TCU is 1-2 in one possession games.
Yeah.
But I agree with you with what Lance Leopold's done. I think that what's happening in the state of Kansas is exciting. And I think one of the best games in Big 12 this year is going to be the Sunflower Showdown.
You know, shame on both of you for falling for the honeypot that is Lance Leipold and this Kansas rebuild. Like, yeah, so what? You take a car that was dirty and you gave it a wash and now it looks a little bit better. Guess what? It's still a junker. It's still not that good. Kansas doesn't impress me too much. I'm sorry. I do think Lance Leipold is a godsend to that community and what he's done to that program as it is, but it still doesn't make them to contend with the Big 12. I also do think that it helps that it is in Kansas City at Arrowhead and not at Kansas, because Kansas is a decently tough environment to play in, especially now that their students realize that Kansas has a football program. Like, they were showing up. Like, it's getting a little tougher.
And with the renovation, that at least Lance Leopold's bringing them real restrooms and not porta potties.
Yeah, I mean, the porta potties were fine because each fan had their own porta potty assigned. So.
Real quick,
you know,
I
will be
note
at that game.
Okay, all right, you'll be at that game. So hopefully, if I do make it, you and I can catch up and we can work on some stuff there. I'm making a note, JD. The week of that game, we're bringing on a guest. He's a good friend of mine and a diehard Kansas fan, and he does work in sports media actually. So he would like to come in and give you his 2 cents on what you say about the Kansas program. I think that'd be fun to watch.
Hey, bring him in. I'd like to ask him when he discovered football, first of all. Is there a blue blood basketball program?
Oh, boy, that's going to be a fun conversation. We follow up the very next week. Again, I believe this one is on a Friday at home against Houston, 6:30 kick. And I can't really say anything more than what I said a few weeks ago when we were going through our rankings. I think Houston is on an absolute just horrible time right now as a program. You know, unless they can band together after a rough month, come into TCU with some kind of momentum or some kind of hope, I just don't see any way the Cougars are winning this game. This is a win for TCU.
Agreed.
Yeah. Not much to say. I mean, you got Daniel Holgorsen on staff. He knows all the secrets about Houston, right? He should be able to make it an easy win. But yeah, Houston just doesn't have it on the offensive or defensive line to be able to compete too much in this game, nor in the Big 12 as much as they should be able to within the few years with the Willie Fritz. But yeah, TCU win. So after six games, I've got TCU at 4-2.
I think we all have 4-2. I think we just disagree on the games.
Yeah, 4-2.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So then after a bye week, probably the toughest travel of the season, at least in my opinion, going to Salt Lake City to take on the Utes. And this is kind of the inverse of what I just said about the Houston game. I mean, unless TCU can pull out the miracle season that they did a couple of years ago, I don't see them going into Salt Lake City and coming home with a win.
I agree. I think it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a great atmosphere to be at. It will be, you know, I would hope that it would bring back those Mountain West rivalries, but I don't think this is the year we're going to see that.
This is a real shame. I'm the pessimist of the group, and I have TCU winning this game. I am the pessimist, and I have TCU winning this game. Don't get me wrong. Utah's got a very, very strong defensive line. They've got what should be good outside linebackers. The inside linebackers are questionable for this season. But their quarterbacks are not the world's greatest. You got a receiving room with Savion Williams, JPR, and Jack Besh. Like, I kind of going to give the odds to TCU on that whenever you're going to have to air it out because you're not going to be able to run the ball too much. And
don't forget Alito's own Money Parks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do have TCU winning this, but I do think it is like last second field goal bazooka type game from Baylor. I don't think it's like they come out and they dominate. I think it's kind of like, hey, few things fall their way here and there, but historically TCU has played Utah very well. So
historically, yes. However, I think that this is a different Utah team than anyone has ever seen. And now, well, I mean, at least that TCU has ever seen. So especially with Cam Rising at quarterback, and you know, you mentioned the wide receiver room, and you know, yeah, I've got my questions about it too. But I will say, I think that Utah's right up there with some of the best programs in the country right now. Do I see them winning a national championship? No. But you don't just walk into Salt Lake City and expect to get a win, especially with how good their defense is. I will say this will be a real tough and rumble game. Like, I don't see this being scoring 110 points between the two teams. I think it's very low scoring. This is like me trying to go up and fight a gorilla. You know, I might be able to get behind it and choke it out, but I wouldn't bet on it.
But you're saying there's a chance. That's all I need.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. So chance I've we got, could go 12-0. I've got but TCU and yeah, there's a chance. There's always a chance of that. So let's see. Where were we? So I had him at 4. So we were all at 4-2. So I've got him at 4-3. Barry and I have at 4-3. You have 5-2, JD.
Yes, I do.
All right. So then we come back home to take on the Texas Tech Red Raiders. And this was one that, Barry, if this isn't on your one-score game, then you and I are going to have some words, because I think that these are two very equal teams. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that's where they were in my rankings, right next to each other. This is going to be a really, really tough game. And I am very, very optimistic as a person and as a sports fan. I do not think I can give the Frogs the edge. I take Texas Tech by a field goal in this one.
I will agree with you that it is going to be a one score game. It's going to come down to the end. I'm giving the edge to the Frogs in this one just because it's at home.
Thank you. That was my entire reasoning as well. TCU plays Tech well at home, right? And it is homecoming. And there will be no tickets sold to Tech fans. Like, it is a true home game for TCU. Also, Tech basically was able to win single-handedly last season on the fact that Taj Brooks discovered that, hey, I can run the ball and TCU can't tackle me in the interior. Well, we got a new defensive coordinator and a new defensive line that can stop that. Tech just can't really throw the ball well against TCU and never really has. It kind of weirds me out because their entire offense is a spread offense that just basically becomes a single back formation whenever they play TCU because they just run all over them and can't throw. And I think that kind of stops this season, but I do think it'll also be a close game. Tech just can't play well at AMG Carter, and it's odd.
That's a good point, and I agree that it is odd that they just never seem to play well in Fort Worth. I really like this offense that Texas Tech has built, especially with the wide receiver Coy Aiken outside and then Baron Morton at quarterback. I got to see both of those kids play in high school, and as JD, you and I talked about, I'm a very big eye test guy. Those were two players that passed the eye test in the first 5 minutes of their respective games that I saw. I knew they were going to be great athletes. So I guess you could say then, yeah, this is a little bit of a sentimental pick of how much I actually like Tech's offense, but I got to give Tech the edge here. I think it's close. I think it comes down to the end, but I'm giving Tech the edge in this one. And anyone else want to add to that before we go to the dreaded game down in Waco?
Nope. Yep. We'll never read 100% because you're the eye test on the numbers. We're always circling each other.
That's why we make for a good show, man. That's why we make for a good show. So the very next game will kick off the month of November on November 2nd at a time to be decided at the school down there. The team that I don't want to name having just left one of their sports pages, and now I came home, thankfully. I don't see anything happening with Baylor. I don't even think Dave Aranda will be the head coach when this game kicks off. I don't see anything. They didn't really do anything in recruiting that gave me any hope that they would be pulling themselves out of the bear trap, but no pun intended. But I don't see what Baylor has this year. I think TCU marches down to Waco. Now, it's a rivalry game. Anything can happen. But Baylor just looks awful this year. I mean, if TCU doesn't walk out of this one with at least a 10-point win, I'll be scratching my head going, what went wrong?
I disagree with that. And this becomes my fifth one-score game. And that's just because regardless of how good or how bad one of those two teams is, every year it's a battle. Well, actually, it's a bluebonnet battle. This is also...
That's a trash name, by the way.
It is. I agree. This is the 10-year anniversary of the infamous 61-58 game. And rumor has it they are going to be doing a 10-year commemoration either before the game or at halftime. So they're going to be revved up. They're going to want to win that game. TCU is going to get it, but it's going to be another bazooka-type experience.
Both of you have proved both my points as to why TCU is losing this game. One, it's the 10-year reunion. That is a cursed year, first of all. So TCU is losing because it's already they're set up for failure. Two, Dave Aranda is not going to be the coach. The week before, Baylor will be 0-6 in conference play. 0-6 in conference play. If he's not fired before the Oklahoma State game, he will be fired after, which is when they play TCU. What happens after a coach is typically fired? Their team is now fired up, and it's a rivalry game. That's a little bit of extra juice. I just think it's. I'm not saying that Baylor's going to beat TCU because TCU just struggled that week or whatever. It's just college football in a nutshell. Weird things happen when you play your rival. Like, look at last year's El Clasico. I think Iowa had over 180 offensive yards. That doesn't happen, but it's a rivalry game. A lot of weird things happen. Like, so I do give the edge to Baylor in this one, which kind of puts me back in line with where I think TCU finishes record-wise anyways.
All right. Well, I've got them at 5-4 with three games left. We've kicked off the month of November. Three very different views on how the Baylor game's going to go. Now we come to the one that really would have shaken up my view had the news out of Stillwater yesterday been as bad as we feared. Well, I wouldn't say feared, but bad as it could have been. Oklahoma State comes to town on November 9th, and this is the one that for me, for me, JD, this is where, you know, you had UCF in your rankings. This is where I've got Oklahoma State. And if Ollie Gordon is in fact healthy and okay, I think Oklahoma State comes and runs all over TCU, because not only did we – so, yes, we got better on the inside and we have a better interior, as you were referencing Taj Brooks for Texas Tech, but Ollie Gordon is very good at getting to the perimeter, making people miss. And now with Alan Bowman, if he can stay healthy at quarterback, I like his play style. I think the Cowboys come in and take care of business in Fort Worth.
I agree with that. Frogs will have made themselves bowl eligible by my predictions with the Baylor win. They won't be prepared for Oklahoma State. They'll get the loss on that one.
Yeah, no, TCU is losing this one. There's nothing I could do to say TCU would win this one. I really just think, yeah, you pretty much summed it up perfectly, Nolan. The defense is better, but you're not Ollie Gordon proof. Like, he's going to get his yards. So I think that they're just a little bit too good. Now, I will say the only thing that does help that can keep it within a close game is that it's in Fort Worth. Last time Oklahoma State played here was the double overtime loss. When TCU came back and won, or was down by 17 points, came back and won. Yep. So it does help a little bit that it's, but the only thing too is it's so much harder to predict these last few games of the season, because football has so many injuries happen that who knows what a team can look like at that point.
That's why these shows are always interesting when you do a preseason prediction. And so we'll see what happens. I still don't have TCU bowl eligible. However, that is about to change, because I'm going to put myself on the chopping block here. Potentially I'm calling upset over Arizona.
Oh, okay.
I think it'll be really, really close. I don't think Arizona, I think Arizona actually may end up having a rougher year than we anticipate. I think that they are not quite prepared, especially with all the stuff with the coaching change. And you know, while a lot of their players did stick around through the coaching change and didn't go to the transfer portal, I don't think that it's going to be an easy year for Arizona with all the shakeup. I think when they come to Fort Worth on Thanksgiving week, they're going to be knocked off their game a little bit and not, you know, they're not going to be prepared. I think TCU wins by one possession. And so I think TCU gets bowl eligible by beating Arizona.
I have this not as one of my one possession games, and Arizona getting the win on this.
I have TCU winning this one. And this doesn't go against where I had Arizona in my rankings. It actually helps, Nolan. I don't think we talked about this when we did our Big 12 preview and everything. But Arizona, Barry just informed me that Arizona and Kansas State this season is not a conference game. That is a non-conference game.
It's the same with Baylor and Utah.
Yes. So that completely changes. And the fact that Arizona was allowed one more loss in conference play. And I think a lot of the stuff I've read so far out of their camp has kind of been slightly trending down compared to what I thought they could be. So I do think that TC will pull out this win. And I also think at this point of the year, I had them at 6-4 going into this game against Arizona, that I think it fires them up a little bit enough that, you know, they keep fighting.
Yeah, I completely agree. Obviously, this one, if it works out the way that I predicted it, this clinches bowl eligibility. If it goes the way Barry predicted it, they would have already been bowl eligible for 2 weeks now. I think it's almost impossible to predict how a team's mindset is going to be coming into a game. But this is a really, really weird year for Arizona. Throw in the extra non-conference game with Kansas State. I mean, I don't think that either Kansas State or Arizona is going to go into that thinking, oh, it's a non-conference game. They're going to come in going this, you know, while it might not matter in the conference standings, this is going to be huge, you know, especially for Kansas State. If they can run the table with how good they're supposed to be this year, that's a bonus in the playoff bid. So exactly. I think that Arizona is going to be kind of off their game. I don't think they're going to expect TCU to be as good as I think TCU can be and will be this year. I think, and again, it's a holiday weekend. That's Thanksgiving week. So coming off the holiday, you know, that's a That is rivalry central right there, is that weekend. Upset weekend, pardon me. So I really think, oh, it is rivalry week too, isn't it? Or is that the next week? But
it's the next week.
Regardless, next week. But yeah, regardless, that is the weekend for the biggest upsets. And so that is my lock on upset of the year, or at least for me. That's the prediction I'm making on the my only upset prediction of the year is TCU beating Arizona. And then we wrap it all up by heading up to Ohio to play the Bearcats, and not the Bearcats that I like, but the Cincinnati. And this is one that I really had to sit and debate about, but I give TCU the edge on this one. I think riding a high after upsetting Arizona at home after Thanksgiving, that gives you a little bit of a boost to go into the final game of the year on the road, already bowl eligible, and we finish out the season at 7-5.
I agree with you here. I think Cincinnati's got a depth problem, and by the end of the season, they're going to have some injury issues probably, and not the depth to be able to recover from that. So I'm going to give TCU the win on this, and also finishing 7-5.
Yeah, Barry, that's pretty much exactly was my reasoning for the win too, was Cincinnati just, they have decent top end talent, not even really too crazy, but there's a huge lack of depth that a lot of the other Big 12 teams don't struggle with, that I think will come by them. You know, it's November 30th when you're playing at this point, like everyone's banged up and they just don't have anyone that's going to come in and be able to be fresh. So I have TCU winning this, and I have them finishing this season 8-4.
All right. Well, with that, let's go ahead and I want to ask and see, do y'all have any predictions on what the bowl game will be or who will be against?
Yes, I do. I have TCU at 7-5, coming in 7th in the Big 12, will play the number 8th team in the SEC, which will be the Texas A&M Aggies at 8-4 in the Texas Bowl in Houston. And let's make it a 6th one possession game, and let's give that edge to TCU.
Go ahead, JD, you got one?
Yeah, I wrote it down and I can't seem to find it, but I have them playing in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, and I have them playing Purdue in the big out of the Big Ten. I just really want to see TCU play Purdue because I think that could be an excellent uniform matchup, and that's really all I care about when it comes to bowl games that aren't college football playoff games.
Purdue's coming to Fort Worth in 2030. You can see it then.
In 2030, Barry,
a lot can happen in 6 years, Barry. We might be in the same conference with them by then.
I was going to say Purdue's going to be ran by Drew Brees' son by then, and they'll be in a super conference.
All right, Barry, are you ready for mine?
Sure.
I've got us making the trip up to Memphis, Tennessee, to play in the Liberty Bowl against the Oklahoma Sooners.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a pretty rough year in the SEC for OU. They're going to take their licks, some of them at home. And, you know, I hate to say that as a Sooner fan myself, but I think OU will be good enough to make a bowl game. Obviously the Liberty Bowl is one that I feel like is kind of slept on. I think both teams go in, at least one of them will go in with a ranking between 20 and 25. And I think this will be a game that especially members of the Big 12 and SEC will both be looking at to see, number one, okay, was OU ready for the SEC? And number two, how would TCU stack up against a middle-tier SEC team like Oklahoma probably will be this year? So that's my bowl game prediction. And go ahead and mark that down as a loss. And we're going to end the season 7-6. I think the Sooners take it by – I make this a one-possession game, just like you did with the Aggies. I make it a one-possession game. But I think the Sooners edge the Horned Frogs in the Liberty Bowl.
I thought about the Liberty Bowl as an option, and it came down to either Kansas or TCU for the next bowl. And I just saw that being more regional. And I know Kansas has recently played there, but I see Kansas going back to the Liberty Bowl.
That's fair. JD, anything to add?
No, I'm very confused on how the bowl tie-ins are supposed to work this year. So I'm just trying to read it right now and figure it out. because there's still Pac-12 conference bowl tie-ins. So yes. I don't
one
know
of those, if... one of those happens to still be the Alamo Bowl, which is also a Big 12. So
yes.
Surely that's not, surely that one's not in play. The, so
the, yeah. the Pac-12 tie-ins remain for 2 years. So the teams right. that were in the Pac-12 are still eligible for those bowl games in the Pac-12 spot for at least 2 years.
Yeah, so that, that begs the question of...
And I think we...
are, do they get to pick if they'd rather be in the Big 12 tie-in or the Pac-12? Because that was my issue with trying to decide who's going to be in a bowl game where is. Let's say, you know, Arizona's fourth in the Big 12, right? So, like, they should be playing in the Liberty Bowl. But, like, can they just take the Las Vegas Bowl instead if they want it? Like,
I think they're going to the Holiday Bowl.
I just don't know if they get a choice to pick or because it's a tie-in, they don't get a say in it.
Yeah, so my thought on that is of those of the four new teams, two of them are playing in a bowl, two of them are not. And of the two playing in a bowl, one of them is making it to a playoff, and the only one that has to make a decision is Arizona.
Yeah. Barry, does that mean that you don't think Colorado's going to make a bowl game this year? Oh, man, that's breaking news.
Nor is Arizona State.
Hey, am I better now? I could hear y'all that whole time. I was kind of glitching a little bit, though.
Yeah, you're good.
You're fine.
Okay. So to answer your question, though, I know that everybody in the Pac-12 who was in the Pac-12 is eligible for those bowl games as the Pac-12 slot. And it's up to that bowl game to offer that Pac-12 slot. And then I think the only other one that's different for the Big 12 is I think we lose the Independence Bowl this year for 1 year because Army made a deal that they have to play in that game. And I think they're playing someone out of the American.
And the Big 12, was the deal with the Independence Bowl, as I understood it, was the Big 12 had committed to 2 years over a 3 or 4 year period. And since Tech made it there last year, we've already committed one, so we only have one more to do before 27 or something like that. So,
interesting. Well, all right, gents. Anything else y'all would like to add before we sign off on this latest edition?
All good here.
Yes, I'm severely disappointed in both of you for making me have the best TCU record. When, again, I'm supposed to be the pessimist here. I am the one that is always told you're so negative about TCU, but I'm the one with the best record. So something's not adding up.
Not to mention that I said not only did I have a worse record than you, but I have us losing a bowl game against a team that, you know, I may have picked out of bias.
Yeah, it's we're going to have an all-fair conversation here after this.
Oh, man. Well, gentlemen, it's been fun. Frog fans, that does it for the fourth episode here of the Gridiron Frogs podcast as a part of TCU Horned Frogs on SI. Thank you for tuning in, listening, watching, however you find your podcasts. We'll see you next week with another great show. Until then, for our glorious leader, Barry Lewis, and my partner in crime, JD Andrus, and everyone at killerfrogs.com, I'm Nolan Ruth signing off. So long, everybody.
Thank you.